Hello and welcome to another episode of the Flat Out Show. Thank you guys for joining, and we are your regular culprits, Komoye and Valentine. Although he doesn't want us to call him Tino, we'll still stick to Tino and leave Valentine for the ladies. Mr. Tino, how are you feeling today?
Feeling okay. Ready to get into it.
We had a little disagreement before we came online, and we're going to continue that disagreement. I won't say it's a disagreement. This guy left me on red. But anyway.
I don't think that's what it means to leave someone on red. I responded after the text. I just said no. I disagreed. I didn't leave you on red.
Okay, so we had a disagreement, and we're going to trash it out after that. So just in case you don't see the show on for a few weeks, just know if it's Tino's fault. he's the one at fault.
I take the blame.
Anyway, big ups to my guy over here. He played his first pro game this weekend. We saw some clips, nothing too, lavish, nothing too big. We just saw a few snippets here and there, him knocking down a free throw, doing the crazy man thing that he always does, screaming into the camera, all that stuff. But hey, we always need that kind of energy in a basketball game. But yeah, that's what prompted us to talk about today's episode, man. Your first pro game, how do you feel, my guy?
It was exciting. Normally this is where people get nervous. I played in the league, but in the Division 2, so, and I've never won a single game in Division 2. So playing Division 1, and it was like before the game that day. Normally, the things that I think, like most people anyway, I don't think it's necessarily anything special where I'm thinking, oh, how do I comport myself if we lose? All the things that has to, that goes through was negativity, like what happens when we lose, what the outcome may be, how do you handle yourself when we lose. But for the first time on that day, I was just like, When I kept forcing myself to be negative of him, like, how do you handle the situation when or if we lose? Instead, I was like, oh, we're going to win, and the losers doesn't look like an option. And that's not because we knew our opponent. I didn't know Air Force, because Air Force is who we faced. I didn't know what the Air Force team were. Yeah. I didn't know what they looked like. I didn't even know what their jersey was like. So it was like, I didn't care. That was sincerely one time where I did not care. And I know there have been multiple times in my career in the past where moments like this gets me nervous. These are things that you have. Some players talk about. Some players feel too prideful to say that they do feel nervous in these moments.
Yeah.
But in all honesty, man, I did not feel an ounce of nervousness. It was just like, okay, it's another game. One of my teammates asked, oh, like, oh, how are you feeling? Like, what we got? I said, guy, I just want to play basketball. Like, I really don't. I'm really not up for all this. Like, I kind of knew we would win. Like, I was optimistic. I wasn't necessarily optimistic, but I just knew we would win. And at the same time, I wasn't nervous about anything. The only thing that concerned me about the game was my position in the team. What to expect from my coach, what to expect from the team in general, was not the win or lose situation, was not the outcome of the game, was not even the opponent. It was a fun experience. It was nice, but it unfolded a lot of truth in one game. Things that I don't necessarily, things that I'm not surprised. And I was just like, here we go again.
Oh, wow. And so what are those things? Let's get to those things.
The basic playing out of position. I'll tell you this, Komo.
My 6-3 forward. Let's go.
I'll tell you this. The last 7 years of my career, yeah, I'll say seven or some, like around 5 to 7 years of my career, I've been played out of position. Like, it's like you have a point guard. I'm saying a typical point guard. Let's say a 5'11 point guard. And you make him play center. That's the kind of out of positioning I'm talking about. I've been made to play out of position pretty much half my career or two-thirds of it. Now, the only two times I was ever asked to play or I was ever given the leverage to play my natural position, I actually flourished in it. So it's not a situation of, oh, if we give you the ball or if we allow you to do what you can do, you don't turn up. It's not that case. It's just a case of I've never, like, just twice in my career. So it was just another, here we go again,
Well,
quote unquote big man. And I'm just like,
it could just be the first game. I always tell people, like,
No,
at this age,
nah. I tell,
hold on
nah,
now,
nah,
hold on,
nah. Nah, 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 nah. I'm
wait
telling you,
now,
there's no, okay, go ahead, go ahead.
wait. In this age, I don't feel like there's a player can be stuck on one position because of the way the game is played. As now,
Central Africa.
it also depends on the team that you play, which is obviously one of the big things. But if you are able to flourish as being the guy doing every other thing, you always get a slot. That's one. I also believe that players nowadays have to be able to do every other thing. You don't have to be 7 foot to play like the center position, although that is who you rather want to play those positions. But basketball is positionless, depending on wherever you play. If you are in Africa, I understand that it is difficult to actually put guys that are 5'6", 5" playing the power forward or playing the center position or all that stuff. But in every other place in the world, everyone plays, we play positionless basketball. It's a lot of movement, a lot of cutting, a lot of guys running transition, a lot of shooting, a lot of threes going up. You know, it's not the typical basketball setting that we've always been accustomed to, like in the early 2000s or in the 90s, per se. So I understand your situation where you say, okay, yes, you've not been played in your natural position, but I feel like the teams can also adjust to, you know, playing rather more a positionless style of basketball than just to stick guys in, you are this and you are that. That's how I
And
feel.
I'm glad that you brought that. And I'm glad that you brought that up because we play the old style basketball,
Okay,
not
so
the
that's where the wild
positionless.
is.
It's the very typical big inside, small outside. I don't think I have actually known what it's like to be at the perimeter. I honestly don't. It's been, what has it been, 2 months since like training camp, like since we started training and everything? I don't think I know what it's like to be in the perimeter when I play in a team set. I really don't. It's that bad. Like, it's that bad. It's so bad to the point that even in training, when I don't know, some odd times where they want to make a little bit of change, and then I'm asked to play in the perimeter, I actually tell my teammate, I beg you, go play in the perimeter. Let me go play. Because I don't want that kind of nonsense where you tell me to go and play something where I know I'm not going to play. Let me come out, practice the one I know I'm going to do. I told myself, I told my people, I told my, let's cut the bullshit. Let's not pretend, let's
Don't
not act like, oh yeah, we're doing this. We know it's not going to happen. And I know that if it does happen, you will bench me. So Kukuma, go and stay where you can stay, where we know that it's going to be okay. Let me stay where I know that I can at least,
kimmy.
the very least,
Oh my
earn my
God.
playing time. So like I don't think I know what it's like to play the perimeter in organized basketball, because I haven't. Since coming to Africa, I have not met a single coach that I've understood how to place me anywhere. I'm not talking about, I don't want to play point guard. I don't want to play shooting guard. Don't give me all this title. Just allow me to get to a spot where maybe I can just do one. Just give me like two possession chances. That's all I'm asking. Just two possessions. But no. All the coaches that I've ever would always play me on the inside. So every point that I earn is literally not points drawn up, like not a play that has been drawn up, because we have plays, right, that we run.
Yeah.
It's not plays that we drew up and say, okay, we'll draw up this point. Okay. Even the plays that we run that are meant to feed me, which I always tell them, I don't give a damn if you feed me or not. Like, as far as you just do the right thing. But the plays that are meant to feed me in the position I'm in, it doesn't even do that. So even the first game that we played, all my points came off of my hustle. Just the fact that I went for offensive rebounds. Those are how my points came. And I've always known this. I'm not going to get, I'm not going to get a shot off or something. You're not going to give me an assist and you're no. Most of my points are going to come off of me grabbing the offensive rebound, making free throws. That's as far as I know, that's the ceiling in most of these things. Until I can have the confidence of any coach to really tell me, listen, play basketball. But I don't get that. I do get that from a particular teammate who doesn't, we don't know each other from before, but he knows he's completely different from me. And he's the only one that actually tells me, Val, play basketball. I understand, but just play basketball. And it really hurts me as a person because, like, it hurts to see players my own size playing what they want to play. And they now quote unquote me a big man. Is that really fair? Like I have players my no. Because I have players my own. It always it, the thing that people come up to me and tell, oh yeah, Val, it's because you give them the impression that you don't shoot. Oh Val, you give them the impression that you're not a shooter. Oh Val, you give them what are you saying? What are you saying? If all of us would start jacking up shot, who will we now rebound? Like, let's be sensible. Someone has to legit take a back seat for the success of any team. It's legit. Like we've seen it in the NBA. I could not believe my eyes. There was an interview with someone, one of these NBA players spoke about Looney in Golden State. And he said that Looney was this offensive, like the KD in high school. I was like, this don't make any sense. Knowing who Looney is, and like this don't. Then they were showing clips of his high school. I said, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I did not think this man could move like this. Because Looney strikes me as a typical center. Give him, it's not even a typical center in the sense of the holding NBA typical center, more like he gave the ball, looks for the open man, looks for the three. He's not the one that is back to the basket type of center. He's more like a feed or rebound dish, that kind of thing. So like I didn't know Looney had it like this, but just the fact that he had to really, really reinvent himself just to be able to play in the NBA or play at the highest level. So I was like, that's fair. That's fair. That's the sacrifice he has taken. Whether he was willing to take or not, I don't know. But it's the sacrifice he has clearly taken. But man, we are not there yet. We are not there yet. We're not, we're all in a stage, we're all in a level where we all need the opportunity. We're all in a stage where we're in under a microscope where you need the opportunity, I need the opportunity. So why would, if in as much as I would sacrifice my role to the betterment of the team just for us to get win and all this thing, you still need to consider that as much as you're looking for a career in what you're doing, I too am looking for a career in what I'm doing.
True.
So I just feel like it's an unfair assessment to assume that because I refuse to shoot, not because I can't shoot. Now, I don't say I'm a good shooter. But how many shots do you allow me to attempt in a game? I have teammates like walking up to me telling me that, oh, you can shoot. Well, one of the funniest thing happened was that in one of our practice sessions, so it was we ran one play, and I caught short switch, and then the shooter on our team was looking at me, is like, wow, you can shoot. I'm like, yeah, dude, if I could shoot, I would. Then he's like, why don't you shoot? Why don't you shoot? I'm like, really, you're asking me that question? You really want me to chop bench with that? Like, you're really asking me that question? We all know good and well that if I took one third of the shots you take as a shooter, I'm not going to see playing time. That's right. Like, I'm not going to see playing time. You can, yeah, I'm not shitting on anybody's role. You have the responsibility to shoot basketball. That means you can have, you will take 10 shots again. You probably only make two or three. You'll still get your playing time. That's fine. But I don't have the leverage for that. That means if I take one and I miss that one, I'm gonna go back inside, because if you stay out there again, I die.
But you've got to earn your stripes from training. I think we all put this
Nah,
bruh.
see, I'm
See,
cut the I'm let's see, there's a lot of
Valentine,
things that
earn
I've
your
unfolded in
stripes
that
from
first game.
practice.
I've
See,
been,
forget this thing. You cannot keep playing. You can't keep playing as a
nah.
forward when you are not a forward. You are 6'3". You're bit, which kind of 6'3"? You're like 6'1½". Me and you, the
Yeah, I'm
Jagites.
not the there's the there there I'm obviously holding, because I know that I don't, there are obviously a lot more that I would want to say, but I just can't say right now. But I'll say this: all that earn your spot from practice, it don't work everywhere. Let I will call it. See, if people see, there is I totally agree. You earn your spot from practice, like I totally agree. But Komol, I'll be honest with you, it does not apply to every team. It's a
Oh,
myth.
that's I
It does
understand
not apply
that.
to
I
every team.
understand
It
that.
does not. You can kick ass, you can do all you can. When that first game really just, that's why I told myself, I'm not going to do all that, oh, give the benefit of the doubt. But I said, nothing concerned me. I've seen the way the trajectory of everything is probably going to go for the rest of. I'm not going to be stupid and live in any delusion where I'm going to be like, oh yeah, give the benefit of the doubt. There's no benefit of any doubt. I've seen what is to expect. Now, no. In all honesty, now I know what to expect. Now I know that, okay, this is how
Oh my
things are going
God.
to be. There's nothing
Oh my
to, there's,
God.
what are we, I don't understand. I don't understand. We use the earn your spot in practice, to me, as an excuse to give whoever the benefit of the doubt that you can still, it's not going to happen. See, there are words I don't want to use, but it's a myth. For certain teams, it's a myth. That thing don't work. I've seen it. Like, before I was like, okay, I was, see, no, give for where. I've already accepted my role. I've accepted my fate. I said, normal. You're going to get 100%. You're going to get 100% effort, 100% energy. I'm not going to do anything at the detriment of the team in terms of, oh, because I feel this way, I'm going to react this way. Nah, I still feel the way I feel because I'm a human being. Nobody will take that away from me. But I will not react according to how I feel. That's what I can tell myself. I'm not going to react according to how I feel, but I still feel the way I feel. But I don't think it's necessarily going to change. Nope.
Anyway, we'll see how your next game is. Maybe you have something different to tell us, because we are definitely going to talk about it for sure. See him rolling his eyes. Why are you rolling your eyes? Because I remember my first like pro game. I was given a different opportunity compared to most guys, because that was the year of the ABL in Nigeria, the African Basketball League in Africa. So we traveled between Nigeria, Ivory Coast, and Senegal. I'd be one of that country like that. And the way I got on the squad was even funny. It was my previous coach, Coach Ayodele Bakare. He was a former national team coach. And we went for a Division One tournament in Port Harcourt to get into the National League back then. We lost in the final to eventual winners, Rivers Hoopers, who got promoted. But after then, we kind of had this, it was a family bond amongst the team. So we're all caught between whether we should try out for other teams, because teams had taken notice of a few of us on the team and they wanted us on their own squad, or we should keep it as a bond. Then next time around, we will go and try out for try to win the tournament again. But we ended up splitting. Some guys had already made a decision, okay, they are going to sign somewhere else and take the next step in their careers. And all of a sudden, I think I got a call from Coach Ayodele that, okay, he was taking up a job from that was Stallions, formerly First Bank. And he called me up that they need a guard. And in fact, he did not even tell me they need a guy. He just called me and said I should get to National Stadium at so time that I should bring my kids with me. I was like, okay, I'll be there. So I ended up practicing with the team. I was, guy, if you had seen me back then, I'd be like stick. So I still don't understand how I was able to get through that part. But it was an opportunity that I was given, and I think I was ready for that situation because all through the before that time I had been practicing my ass out. I played in different tournaments, played here and there. So I remember my first game was not, I would say it was a bad game, but it was a terrible game in regards to me controlling the ball. It was my first professional game where I had everyone. I had people in the stands cheering like crazy. I had everywhere booming. And we were facing professionals from different countries. We had some guys from Cameroon, I had some guys from the US. I was like, bruh, if this is what I've got to do for the next how many years of my career, then I've got to kick up well. I've got to do my shit. I had nine turnovers in that game. Nine old turnovers. We lost the game by two. But one thing that really stood out to me was after the loss, nobody on my squad came out to me that like you were the one that messed the game up. Because obviously I had nine turnovers, so that played a huge part. That played a huge part in us losing. But it was more of we'll get it next time. And in fact, not one player actually talked about the fact that I had that many turnovers. Maybe because they understood I was still growing in the game, or they saw other things that I did not see. But them not saying anything really gave me a boost. So as we went on in the tournament or in the league, the turnover numbers reduced drastically, and all that. But that first game was incredible because I did not imagine myself playing 30 something minutes in my first pro game, being the ball handler, telling this guy, "Hey, you. You that just came from Yankee, you go."
I can imagine the weight of the responsibility.
It was pretty much easy on me because before then, I want to believe like I have groomed myself while playing with other guys of, taking that responsibility of the guy that really controls the team, being the intermediary between my guys on the court and the coach. So I've kind of like understood that role. Although it was a different level, I knew what I needed to do. I knew I needed to communicate better. I knew how to get people in sports by just communicating. Even if I do not understand the full structures of something, but being able to communicate the information that I'm getting from my coach down to the players was pretty much all I've tried to do before that opportunity came. So it was a very good experience. I still have butterflies thinking about it, but yeah, that one was. It was
So,
one
like,
that
what was
pushed
your
me.
start line? What was your start line like that game?
But I don't even remember. I know I think I scored like a few points. I don't know how many points I scored. I think like eight or so. 8 points. Probably had like three rebounds and four assists or something. It was a very, very scanty like start line. But you see that nine turnovers? You see that nine turnovers? Nine
That's a
turnovers
solid
stood like
debut.
this. For real. Nine turnovers stood like this. I was like, game. That was the only thing I was looking at when I saw the score sheet. Like, what the hell is wrong with me, Victor? Nine turnovers. But yeah, it was one of those experiences I really needed to have. And obviously, it helped me get better as we went on. And even till date, like, I tell people the same story every time, like, my first major game. I had nine turnovers. So even if you have 20, you have to just grow from it. Whatever may have gone wrong in that game, you have to grow from it. And like that's what I'm telling you. If yes, it's a fucked up situation. There's no structure and all that stuff. But you have to find ways to incorporate who you are into whatever the team is doing. I have a similar problem
I'm
with my
already
team at the
convinced
moment.
myself with that.
But the team I play with at the moment, that's why you always see me, and I say we won a game, and you say I'm not happy. The way we play is not essentially the right way of playing basketball. Like it feels like everything is forced. We have someone that is going to play ISO 90% of the times. We have someone who's going to take a lot of threes. We have another person that's really not, it doesn't just fit in. And overall, there's really no structure. You've mentioned them running a play for you or running a play for somebody. On our team, we run a play and we like, although there are options in a play, we just hope for the best. We are not saying that this is the guy that we want to get to the shot. This is the guy that we're going to attack. You know, all those little technicalities, we don't have it on my squad at the moment. So that's why I'm always pissed. Like, we can play a lot better. I've played in scrimmages that if any of my teammates see this, they will understand. There are scrimmages that you're playing and you feel a lot better than playing in like a proper league or something. You just have fun. Everyone is trying to feed off every other person's energy, and it's a lot easier to flow with. But it just with us right now, it feels it's tight. And we just made the playoffs. So clap for us. We made it to the playoffs. We'll probably get whooped, but
How is the playoff structure for the league there? Like, how many games? Like, what is how many series? How many like
so
rounds?
I think it's with the first four teams on each conference will play in the playoffs. I'm not sure if it's a one game and done thing, but I have the feeling that's what it is. So you have to win your first two games, then you get to a best of three or so. I can't remember. I don't know what the structure is. I'm not really taking time to look at it because honestly speaking, whoever is listening, Alfie, you might come on and jump on this. I mentally clocked out a few days ago. Like, no, I won't say a few days ago, last week. Like, we had a friendly on Tuesday, and the way we played was just appalling. I was done after that game. The only time I call for sub in a game is when there's like, I'm not in it anymore. I literally called for sub in a friendly game. Not even like I was killing myself. In a friendly game, I called
Damn,
for a
was
sub. I
that
was like,
bad?
nah. We were losing to a Division 3 team by 13. By 13 or 14 in the first half. We scored only 19 points in the first two half, in the first two quarters.
I never even hear of Division 3 before.
Bruh. No, like no it to the guys. Them boys can play. I've got some friends on that team. I've got a teammate of mine who will play 3-on-3 together during the summer on the team. So they are solid players. But we had no business being down or scoring 19 points in the first half. Only for us to come out in the second half. We held them to 5 points, evened up the game. I was not like, what were we doing in the first place? Why do we have to take a hit first before we understand that we can play a certain way?
That's the thing I don't get about some. I think it's kind of that's the thing I don't understand about basketball in general. Like, you have teams, and we have been in those positions because we've played some friendly, where you don't, it seems like you're not taking it serious. And one of the things that threw me off in our first few months together, or first few weeks together, was when we played a Division II team friendly. And we tend to give up that, oh, we're big boys, we are okay, we're playing like this, we are playing Division 2, we're Division 1. Let's play like cool off. You don't want to get hurt, you don't want to get hurt, like, don't put your body on the line, kind of thing. And we did that the first time we played Division 2 team in a friendly. And we were like, it's not like they were leading us by 5, 10, 15 points, but it was tug of war. It was, tug of war, tug of war. And I was like, why do we do this? The only time, now, the time when we eventually picked up and we won by like 10 or even 20 points at the end of the day, but the time when we really picked up was until they had to get under our skin. It doesn't make any sense. Then now, because they know that they are quote unquote the underdogs, so they now started, getting physical. They now
Naturally.
started imitating us. Now, because they started doing all this physical play and everything, we now that we're doing that, we are playing friendly, don't put your body on the line, don't hurt me. We're not like, oh, why are you taking the game seriously? Okay, me too. I'll take the game seriously. That's when we picked up. So now I assume that, oh, maybe we have learned our lesson. You know, one of those things. Now, that was the first, the next day, because we played that same team back to back. So the next day. So I'm like, in my head, I'm like, we're going to, go for the throat from the first second. And we did the exact same thing again. We're now doing tug of war. The first half, we're doing tug of war, tug of war. They wanted it so badly, and we were obviously the better team. So their only way to really push themselves is to get physical. Like they couldn't really break through any other way. And the issue has always been that whenever they got physical, that was what got us going. So once they got physical again in the second half, we now started getting angry. We now started getting offended. We're now, oh, we're going to go for the kill. We eventually won the game by 20 points. But I'm like, in my head, I'm like, this is not the way to go. Ha. Not be every team be like this way you go. They say, oh, like we, in like this team, let's calm down, let's calm down. And we don't have time to be doing uphill battle. Like I don't get that out. I don't get that, we are, we're chilling, that kind of thing. I said, oh my God.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Like we I don't get it too as well. We've got all the pieces to play the right way, and we never eventually play the right way. That's my major problem. But hopefully, as we get into these playoffs, the team we are going to be facing, they are the top team in the other division or the other conference. So those guys only lost one game this season. Remarkable. Out of 22, they lost one. So we're going to be traveling to Birmingham in a few weeks. Hopefully we can stun them, and if we don't, that's a wrap for the season. But I love my team. I love them guys on the squad. I just hope that we can play the right way. Anyway, that's sports service. To the NBA or to EuroLeague or to Africa, wherever it is. What person's rookie game that like their first pro game that you saw and you were amazed by, like, okay, this guy is legit coming out of college or coming out from high school or wherever it is, could be a college game.
I have to mention, when I started watching basketball, watching a full game was nearly impossible for me because I didn't understand how people could sit through a full game. It didn't make any sense. Like, sit down for 2 hours. I was like, we used to do this. So when I started watching, just like most people, that's like most people, I'm not going to shy away from it. I started watching because of highlights. And I remember vividly, this was around 2007, 2008. The one person that really got me like, whoa, was LeBron. Yes. When LeBron was in the Cavs. Yes. There's one particular, LeBron, he has this, that's then when he had the signature dunk of always going behind and popping it. Allow me. It was LeBron that got me going. So that time my mom owned this restaurant in Dubai. So every time I would, after school, we could go to the restaurant. So I would go to the restaurant. So there was this one like emergency exit signboard at the top. So every time I was going, I would like act like I was dunking backwards because it was LeBron. I was like, how this guy is doing this thing? Yes, that definitely had to be early 2008 because I certainly remember it's like between like late 2007, early 2008 that like I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So it was the highlights that got me going. I didn't start watching actual full-length NBA game till 2015. And
This
you'll never
guy.
guess the circumstance under which I was watching it. I was watching them in class. During
Bad
class,
child.
but our school at that school was quote unquote American school. It was more like it was basically an Arabic school that divided themselves and they wanted to be American school, just like bring more English students, whatever it was. So they were going through the whole, they were doing the whole Gen Z type education where your textbooks are online, you come to school with your laptop,
This
you
guy.
know, all these fancy things. So it was our first year in school. Okay, we had our laptop and everything. So me now, I'm an English class, even though I never used to get good marks in English. Like my English is always like C. My English was always a C. Like I never got beyond a C. It was always like C. And I never cared. Like I couldn't be bothered. I was like, waiting, consign me, consign this. Like I'm like, I can speak English. I know the basics. So all those other technicalities were in my concern. So what I would do is the NBA was played, you know, because of our time zone. And even when we were in Dubai, the time zone was still late. So I'd wake up in the morning, I would sort of like download the game. I'll download the game. So I'll get to class and my laptop's on my table. Teacher is, you know, ahead. And I used to sit somewhat behind. So, or the way our classroom was positioned was we were sitting facing each other. Like there's a divide between the section so the teacher can pass through. So there was guys on one side, guys on the other side. So everyone was facing like the wall or something. So I would put the game on and I'll be watching the game while the teacher, it was usually English class because sometimes it was like an hour or something or like 45 minutes. I was like, I'm not going to sit through this shit. So I was like, play the game. So I was like, that's when I started cultivating the habit of watching full length game, like to see play by play, understand what goes on within the game that is much more than the highlights, like how they're able to compile 2 hours of a game, 1 hour and 30 minutes of a game, 2 hours basically with all the breaks,
True.
and compile it to just a minute or two. So I mean I was always watching, man. And knowing me, I'll be like super quiet in English class. I'll be super quiet in English class. I'll be watching the game, watching the game, watching the game. That's how one day see what happened. And the teacher, this is in Dubai, but the teacher was Nigerian. So he was just like, it was just walk. So sometimes normal teachers walk past, you know, just to invigilate us, normal things. So every time I already had the mechanics where anytime it's walking past, I'll just like click on my textbook, which is the web. So it comes up the web, all that stuff. But one position, it was just like it was coming, but I think I didn't expect him to come then because like I didn't have it, like it didn't feel like there was any reason for him to come through. He was coming, bro. I panicked. So I like multiple tap the keyboard, the keypad, and then it closed, open, closed, and opened to the game. Then he was like, ah, this is what you are doing. Ka 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 ka. I was like, in my head, I was like, Ogbeni, calm down, calm down. It's English, nothing is not too deep. Then he was like, leave my class, get out of my class, get out of my class. I was like, in my head, I was like, I'll happily do it. I carried my laptop and I went out. When I went out to the, because I went out of the class, which was the corridor, and I pressed play. I continued where I stopped. I was like, I need to finish the game anyway. It was one of our, the supervisor, the school
Oh
supervisor was passing by. She was passing by. So she saw me outside. She was like, what are you doing outside? And I had a reputation in high school, in that particular school. I had a reputation for being quiet, gentle, and like humble in a way. So it took her off. She was like, what are you doing outside? Then I said, he kicked me out because I
my
was watching something. Because I didn't want to like paint him as a bad guy and try. And I was like, he kicked me out. You know, I was just watching something. And she was just like, you know, you're not supposed to. I'm like, yeah, I know, I know. Then she went, she spoke to him. She spoke to him. He too had to, he had some pride, but he had to let it down because now my reputation spoke for me. Because if not that I was who I was in that school, you probably
You
she definitely won that.
are
But that was the first time. That was the first
guy.
time. I was watching the games.
Bad shy. Bad shy. You're watching game. You're watching game in class.
Same thing with the Euro League and every other league. I obviously started off with highlights, but eventually, after 2015, I started to cultivate the habit of watching full-length
Yeah.
games, watching like the FIBA World Cups, all that different things. So it's like it was a process. It almost felt it was boring at some point, but like I think it's necessary because there are some games that be oof.
Yeah, for sure.
But those are my early memories.
It's for me, I grew up around old heads. So the guy that I really learned this whole basketball thingy for was my coursemate in school, Shuka. And he had been playing for like a year or two before I got into the game fully. And I remember him watching them 90s Bulls a lot. We had a friend named Kelvin. So after practice in the mornings, we'll probably have a lecture or two in it. Like, then we just go back to Kelvin's place, chill for a bit. And there's this CD that had a compilation of them, the Jordan era from 1991 to 96. That is double three-peats run. And we'll sit down and watch them full games. We watch the games like crazy. I feel like a lot of people they don't understand how to actually watch basketball games and actually dissect those little intricacies, those things that really matter, that make the huge differences in games. People just watch the games and they'll be like, yeah, it's this is this. I see this guy, like, see how this one do crossover. But you don't actually look at what makes the big changes, how to. The first time I heard, there was a phrase I heard from CP3 that he said something about 3-in-1, and this is a one step ahead of the 2-for-1 or 3-for-1. So you try to attack at 104 when you're going down, let's say the third quarter, fourth quarter, whatever it is, but 104 to the end of the game. And if you have possession, you try to attack at 104, get a quick shot. Once you're able to get a quick shot, they've got at least two offenses down, because if you get a quick shot within 6 seconds, the other two, you still have two 24s and one more 24. So you still have two opportunities of getting a shot off instead of you like taking just chopping off the time and getting one shot. All those
That's
little
some
things,
detail right there.
all those little things
That's
is
some
from,
detail.
watching these guys. But the biggest rookie game I've ever witnessed, I watched was Michael Carter Williams. I think this was
Jesus
2016.
Christ, I remember that one.
Bruh.
Yes,
Bruh.
Philly game against
Yep.
Miami. I remember
Yep.
that guy was all over the
He was
place.
all over the
All
place.
over.
Ah, guy, I saw the start line at the end of the game. I was like, this guy's not a rookie. There's nothing you can tell me. Like, it is not good. Triple
It was
double on your rookie.
unbelievable.
Triple double. I was like, God damn it. No, this guy is the future. But unfortunately, where is MCW by
He
last time?
fell off. I think after that season, his rookie season, he fell off
Bro, I don't
completely.
get it, man. Like, you have so many players that have got this super high ceiling, coming into the league at that age and, really young. He was like a 6'6" point guard, doing everything well, could rebound, could, like, you look at him and you say, ah, this guy is the future now. But bro, after a few years, you kind of
What do you think
start.
went wrong? What do you think went wrong?
I don't know, man, because I never really took like I never paid attention to him specifically. Even after that game, I never really watched what he was doing because he was not really like my archetype. Most of the guys that I try to, model my game after are guys that play like me or move like me, look like me to a certain degree. Okay, but he wasn't really that
Please,
guy for me.
like who? I want to know the players that you like.
Oh, I'm a thief,
You
oh,
feel
see.
like
I'm a thief. I'm a big thief.
No. I really want to hear this. Who are players that you feel like your game naturally is modeled after?
Okay, for one, the first guy that really stands out to me just because of his IQ for the game is CP3. I know a lot of people hate him because he's a He's a fuck dad. Let me just put it that way.
Okay,
The guy
I agree that I agree that that's natural to you. I
is not.
agree that that's
So
natural to you. I've always
CP3
said that.
is one guy that I really try to study because to me he's the greatest point guard of all time. That's just to me. That's my personal belief. He's a 6'1 guard. I'm like 6'1 and a half. I know that's the position I'm going to play. So I tried as much as possible to watch whatever technique he uses in the game. Another guy that I really watched is AI. Obviously, everyone watched AI because of the moves. There was a time
I never really considered.
I was all on the Allen Iverson crossover. Like that's long step, extended crossover. I used to trip.
That explains. You have that. I see it. I see it.
Where
I see it. I see the.
I used to do that shit like crazy. Like that was one of my best moves. I studied and I practiced like hell. Then Michael Jordan, just because I grew up watching that guy. I needed to know what made him different. And if you look at him, look at Kobe. Kobe was more skilled, but Michael just got something. He just got something different that really you look at him and like, okay, if people are scared of this guy, then people can be scared of me too if I put in the right work. You know, he kind of pushes you to another
That makes
level.
sense.
You know, then the last guy that I would say I watch a lot just because he's the greatest to ever do it. When it comes to shooting, it's Steph Curry. I try as much as possible to look at his techniques when he shoots, his mechanics and all that. I cannot be Steph. I cannot even learn his mechanics because that is his shot is ugly. Let's be honest. I prefer clay shots to his, but just the way he's able to get balanced and all
Clay has a
that.
very granny-like shot. I prefer Steph's.
Bruh. Clay is textbook, man.
That's the point I'm making. The granny-like shot is
That
because it's
it
textbook.
is it looks perfect. Gets the ball. And the crazy thing is he can shoot from any pocket. He could get the ball right here, shoot it up. He could get the ball right here and shoot it up. And those are the kind of things I try to mimic every now and then. But those four players I really watch them a lot growing up. But every other guy just tried to steal from here, like LeBron, you steal something from here.
Do you
You
think
steal something
your
from
do you
this side.
consider your shot, your shot, your shot, your shooting mechanic or your shot mechanic to be ugly or just fine?
Oh no, mine is pretty. I'm not like mine
It's
is
pretty.
pretty. Oh yeah.
I've always thought my shots were ugly till today. I've always thought it was it was like every time I look, every time I watch, the only time I think till today, ugly.
It doesn't
So
even
that's why I have
matter,
to ask.
see.
I just.
Yeah, it does not matter as long as the ball is going into the hoop. Pretty or no pretty, as long as it is going
Mean,
into
there's that, man. I mean, the aesthetics also,
the
it counts.
nobody
But I just wanted
cares.
to ask you just a random question.
Larry Bird used to shoot it like this and he would kill people. Reggie Miller would shoot his own with both hands like this, with his hands flaring outward and he killed people. So it really does not matter. I've gotten to a stage in my career, like even if you shoot the granny shot. There's a number of you do it for like a million repetitions. You'll be great at it, and people will find it difficult to stop you. So it's just about how much you practice it. You might do the wrong thing, but if it's comfortable with you, like I tell people when I'm training with some of the younger guys when I was back home, like whatever you're doing, yes, we try to emulate the right thing. But if you're unable to do those things well, like you are not comfortable doing it, let's see what you are comfortable with. And try to master it to a level that when you do it in games, it doesn't feel awkward. You can get your shots off easy. Those changes is what really matters. You nowadays we don't need to be textbook, it's just like in
Yeah,
the business
I
world. 9 to 5, no, they sell anymore.
true.
Go and do influencer, go and do something else that is meant for you. You don't have to be textbook every time, it doesn't work
Something
that way.
similar to something similar but very different, but also similar to the granny shot for free throws for me is I don't like to dip
Yeah.
and shoot free throws. I just like to stand, bounce, and go. I don't dip, so I release with my toes, like
Yeah, not your knees,
tiptoe,
yeah.
but I don't like to I don't like to dip and go up. I don't. So initially when we started, and that's the way I've been shooting free throws for like the past months. I just go in, fall into my, so it's like it's a very quick one motion shot. And one of the coaches when I was training with, he just like, have you ever tried just shooting the ball without dipping? I was like, but that's hard. He's like, no, just try. I tried, it was hard, obviously, because it was not natural to me. But it's like, if you continue to practice it, you'll get better.
True.
I can't remember what was his reasoning behind this, because he says something like it's more fluid or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, it all depends on the player. Things, not everyone is
It's
comfortable
a
at a
very
certain
quick,
angle.
yeah, it's very quick. It's like just like quick. And in a way, I liked it because when I played 2K, I liked whenever I had to shoot free throws with the likes of Curry, because he didn't necessarily dip. Especially in 2K, he was super quick. Like his free throw was so quick and so fluid. So I was like, I really want to shoot like Curry. This was before the coach had introduced this to me. So I was like, I really want to shoot like Curry. But when he now introduced the whole no dipping thing, I found out that the mechanics for me was just like what I was expecting it to be in 2K. So I was like, okay, this is easier. Now, when I joined this team and when we have been training for the past 2 months, and we have this thing after, some reps, we now take free throws and everything. Everybody has their own free throw routine, and it's the very basic and very typical for you to dip and shoot. Whatever your routine is, you last pass, you dip and shoot. Man, I didn't want all this chatting and talking. So I just dipped and shoot, dip and shoot. Like I just did it. I just did it. So we'll just keep it moving. Like I didn't want to start, somebody will now come and start telling me, oh no,
Was
this
so
is not the
Nigerian of
form.
you.
This is not this is not the form. This is not this, this. I get it, I get it. So it wasn't until a few weeks back, I was training with one of my teammates. We had one personal training. So after our reps, we're shooting free throws, and I wasn't dipping hours because I was in my natural habitat. It was just me and him. If you need an explanation, I'll explain to him, and it will keep him moving. And I knew that it's somebody that wasn't one of those people that are judgmental. So I just pop shit. It's like, Val, calm down now. Like, relax. Take your time. I'm like, this is actually how I shoot my free throws. He's like, he doesn't understand. Like, I don't like to dip. I just like to shoot the ball. But I was like, yeah, I've just been doing it the traditional way because I didn't want you guys to talk about it. So when we now went to practice the following week and we finished our rep, and then now it was my turn to shoot free throw, I was like, I'm sick and tired of pretending. So I just said, ah, I said, what happened? Then after I finished my two, my coach was like, why not doing, like, he was basically asking why am I shooting the way I'm shooting. I was like, coach, I actually don't like to dip and shoot. He's like, I'm like, yeah, I really don't like it. Like, it doesn't feel okay. It doesn't feel authentic to me. It feels like it's forced because it's what you are taught. It's how you're taught. It doesn't really. Now, another question I want to ask you. When we shoot, right, we're taught that we follow through with that. We're taught that follow through. Now, I noticed something. Not every player does it. And I'm not talking of just players that are around me. Even in the NBA, there are people that they follow through ends
Things
here,
like this,
not
yeah.
here.
True, true.
People like Kawhi, I think his follow through ends here. It
True.
doesn't end here. There's another player, I've forgotten the other player, but there are very few of them. Their follow-throughs don't end here. And in all honesty, my follow-through does not end here. It
Yeah,
ends
same
here.
issues. Yeah.
It's more natural for me to end here than to end here. But the typical, everybody's going to be like, oh, wow, follow
No,
through. But I'm like,
that's not even supposed to be a thing of question. I've seen like some of the best shooters, one of the best shooters I know, I grew up watching in Unilag as well. Mr. Shola, he was at one point in his career the top guard in Africa. I forgot Shola Ayolade was the top guard in Africa. He doesn't shoot. His follow-through doesn't come all the way down. It has a very snappy. He stays right here and he's very fluid with his shots. It's one of, I'll probably say, like one of the best jump shots I've seen from a guy that plays within Africa. Really fluid jump shot, and he stays this way as well. It's not like he doesn't go all the way down. So I don't think that really affects the shot as much as people think it does, because at the end of the day, it's still the
Yeah.
same. It's still the same. What's the word now? It's still the same principles. The balanced elbow, whatever, keep your elbows tucked in and you release and you follow through. Your fingers are the last thing that comes off
My
when you're
former
touching the
coach
ball.
releases like this.
Yeah, that one has problem.
No, 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 no. Coach, no, I don't want to say his name, but he's one of the best shooters, and he's one of the, he's known as a shooting because best shooter in his prime, and so right now he's a shooting coach, but he's released like he releases something like this. He doesn't have any follow through like this. He
But
literally like glitches.
have you been able to
Wait,
go and,
wait,
have you
wait,
gone and
wait.
check his hand? Maybe
He doesn't, I'm telling you, come on, he does not miss.
there's something wrong with his hand. You guys have
Nah,
to
he does not miss. So I asked him one time, I was like, Coach, I seen your release is different. He's like, yeah, because whether he releases with something around, I can't remember what he said, but anytime you see him shoot, he doesn't end up like this. He doesn't end up like this. As a matter of fact, his fingers are not like out. It's more like he ends up in a like circular motion and he shoots light out.
Baba is a robo for you people on the
Lights out. That's how you know that if it's like they say, if it's not broke, don't fix
Don't
it.
fix it,
And I think
yeah,
that's what,
facts.
and I think that's what's, that's something we need to address in basketball in general, like the basketball societies or our culture in general, because we feel like I understand that there are certain shot mechanic that needs to be changed, like Lonzo Ball. You needed to change the shot mechanic to get better. But a player like LaMelo does not need to change his mechanics because he's actually a good shooter with his mechanic, but it's sort of unorthodox. His form is sort of unorthodox, but he doesn't need to change it. So it doesn't apply to every player. So just because this player, like, I think people need to pay attention. Do you miss more than you make before you try to change your mechanics? But if it's someone that makes more than they miss, is there really a need to change the mechanics? Because it's not about how good it looks, it's about how efficient
Efficient
it
it
is.
is, yeah.
But I think people get caught up in the whole, it has to look good, it has to look certain way, you know, the whole phenomenon. Yeah, I know I don't have it, so I'm not even bat an eye there. I'm not even going to go there at all.
Oh man. Well, we've come to the end of another wonderful episode. This one had a lot of laugh and giggles. Somebody was pissed at first, but we are smiling at the end. Well, we always piss them. We're not sure. I don't think we've been. We are always pissed at the beginning and we end up smiling.
Bruh, every single time, every single time, every single time.
It is what it is. Thank you guys for tuning in. And please subscribe to the channel. Do all the good things. And you can check us out on our website, theflatoutshow.com. Every episode is on there. All right then, until next time, people, stay safe and stay frosty. This is the Flat Out Show.